the scripture and prayer. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we want to thank you this morning for letting us rise to be here this morning. Lord, be of the ones that wanted to be here but could not. Lord, be of the ones that are listening virtually. Lord, there's a lot of evil in this world. You have protected us from it. Be with the ones that do not understand what your love is all about. Lord, we want to thank you for everything you've given us. Lord, as we go through this week, may we understand the teachings that you will bring to us. Lord, watch over us as we go. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Our scripture comes from 1 Samuel, 12th chapter, 21st verse. And it reads, "And do not turn aside, for then you would go after empty things which cannot profit or deliver, for they are nothing." Lord, blesses the doers and hearers of the word. Amen.
Me, and there are hungry souls who cry aloud for bread. With the bread of life, they're longing to be fed. Shall they starve and famish while our feast is free? I must be more faithful. Hear him, I send me, oh, hear him. I, Lord, send me. Souls who linger on the brink of woe. Lord, I must not, cannot, better let them go. Let me go and tell them, brother, turn and flee. Master, I would save them. Hear him, I send me, oh, hear him. I, Lord, send me. And here am I, ready at thy bidding, Lord, send me.
Ephesians chapter 3, 20 through 21. Now to him is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power of the works that's in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I want to say what a wonderful morning it is. It's a wonderful morning because God has allowed us to be found present on this side of the living. Amen. And a good morning it is. And whether you're a member of this Franklin family or a visitor or a virtual guest, I'm grateful that you are here today in spite of the weather. I'm grateful that God has brought us together for yet an opportunity for worship, praise, and fellowship among those of us that be the saints of God. We've got several verses this morning we're going to go through. They're not going to be on the board. And these verses are going to be the context for today's lesson entitled Some Full and Some Empty. Some Full and Some Empty. Now I want to tell you that just as the song said just a few minutes ago, there's a lot of work to be done in the kingdom. There's a lot of work to be done in the kingdom. There are challenges that need to be met in the church, and we see those challenges all around us. There are also battles to be waged in the armies of God. There are souls are to be saved in this world, suffering. And every Christian about us, we are called to do those things when it comes to serving God. So each child of God, we've got to make up our minds about our Christian service. Because if you will not take hold of the obligations that you have, there's a Bible principle that says, if you will not, another will. The first time I see this principle was set forth was in the days of the judges. It comes from Judges chapter 9, verses 8 through 15. We're going to go back old schools. You have your Bibles? We want to go to the book of Judges chapter 9, verses 8 through 15, and we're going to read that in your hearing. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, reign over us. But the olive tree said unto them, shall I leave my richness, my fatness, wherewith men honor they honor God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? The tree said to the fig tree, come now, reign over us. But the fig tree said to them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said the trees unto the vine, come and reign over us. And the vine said to them, should I leave my vine, which cheers God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said all the trees unto the bramble, come and reign over us. The bramble said unto the trees, if in truth you anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. And if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. These trees, as we see, stood in need of a leader. They asked three healthy, productive plants to rule over them. They asked the olive tree, the fig tree, and the vine. Each one ever refused to lead over them. Each one believed that they had a worthy reason as well to why they should not accept that position. They were justified. Finally, the trees came to the bramble. Bramble, which is a rough and prickly shrub. One that doesn't produce fruit and its thorns can harm you when it's touched. The bramble is empty and useless. It can often spring up and bring ruin to even the healthiest of plants. The bramble is empty and useless. And when he was asked about the position as king over the trees, the bramble immediately accepted the position. He proved the principle that if you won't do it, somebody else will. If you will not, another certainly will. The problem is that the other may be one less qualified. It might even be evil and harmful to the cause. There's always people that are less qualified, evil and harmful to the lives of those of us that are living, because those of us that can accept the position will not do it. Will not do it. Many are self-willed and empty-hearted, evil individuals who yearn to have that position of authority. And they take it because qualified, noble, committed people will not step up. And when qualified, noble, and committed people will not step up, wicked men are going to fill those positions. Second time we read about this principle is in the book of Esther. Book of Esther. Esther chapter 4, verses 13 and following. Haman had deceived the king into signing a decree that all the Jews should be destroyed. But Esther, she was the queen of Persia, and she had the easiest access to the king in order to attempt to ward off the destruction of her people. But she was reluctant. And she was reluctant for good reason, because it had been about 30 days since the king had called her into his presence. And if she was going to meet with him, if she sought to meet with him, and he refused to extend the scepter to her, she could be killed. So she had good reason. But she had an uncle by the name of Mordecai. And Mordecai sent a message to her, and it says, if you will not, Esther, somebody else will. Then he said to Esther, think not with yourself that you shall escape the king's house more than all the other Jews. You're not that special, Esther. If you don't step up and do what you need to do, somebody else is going to do it. Then Mordecai said to Esther, think not that you're going to escape the king's house. Because if the Jews die, you're going to die as well. If you hold your peace at this time, then shall the enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. He was plain in what he was saying. He said, if Esther refused to go into the king, somebody else would come and take our place. You know, for some, it's comforting to know that if they don't accept they're called to serve in the kingdom of God, there's someone who's going to fill the gap that they have made. It's comforting to people to know that if they don't step up in the church, they seem to think that somebody else is going to step up and they don't have to do it. Those who failed or to pull their weight, they shouldn't grow too satisfied that somebody else is going to take their place. Because what's going to happen is they're going to reap the evil rewards of having refused to accept the position of battle that the Lord has called them to. Those who fail to pull their weight, however, should not grow too satisfied because somebody else is going to take their place. because they're going to be a part of those who reap the evil and the ineffectiveness of others who accept the position that they shouldn't accept it. And those in the church sometimes who accept positions that they should not accept it, they haven't got to the point to where they have been filled to be able to handle that position. They're not totally empty, but they're not full enough to be able to represent God and the church in the position that they are taking. Whatever reason they're taking it for, they're going to suffer, and the church is going to suffer as a result of that as well. So if you're going to find yourself taking a position in the church or even doing something in the church, make sure that you are full of God. Make sure you're full of the Spirit of God and not have these empty minds that you just want to take that position so somebody can see you. Shouldn't take it. But if they do, it's going to be too late to reverse that decision. We find too many times the evil and untalented, the selfish and the violent are in control of things. And it's like that because people who are in control, who have the knowledge, who have the experience to accept this, they refuse to accept their responsibilities, and it brings demise on everyone else. Mordecai told Esther, somebody's going to rise up to deliver the Jews if you don't. And if you don't you know that you and your father's house is going to be destroyed as well? There are works and positions and challenges and efforts that need us. It needs us. And every Christian should respond favorably to the things that God has called us to do. We shouldn't walk around feeling that we're empty and we can't do those things, especially if God has provided us with the ability to be able to do those things. Noah did. They laughed at him for 100 years, but he did it. Abraham did, and God called him when he was older in age as well, and he did it. Moses did it. Joshua did it. The judges did it, and David did it. The prophets of old, they all stepped up and did those things that God had called them to do because they were not empty-hearted when it came to serving God. Esther did it. John the Baptist did it. Elizabeth did it. Mary did it. The 12 apostles did it. Saul of Tarsus, he did that. Timothy and Titus did it. How about Philemon and Antipas? The list goes on and on and on of people who stepped up and fulfilled the things that God had called them to do. Too many times we walk around spiritually empty, not knowing the things we ought to do for God, not really caring about the things that we ought to do for God. But let me just tell you that God has called each and every one of us to do something in the church. We are one body but many members. And when you don't step up because you're empty, God's going to find somebody else to do his will. I understand it's not always easy to say yes to God's call. It's not always easy. Because in order to sacrifice other things for the Lord and his cause, we've got to develop a purposeful mindset. The mindset is found in these words spoken by Mordecai to Esther, and he says, and who knows whether you ought to come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Who knows whether you're sitting in this building for such a time as this, because God has called you to deliver salvation to his people and to the world. Because that's what it's all about. And if we sit in the congregation empty-hearted and empty-minded and empty-headed, God cannot work with us at all. We've got to be full when we approach the presence of God, that we might be able to help somebody else and help ourselves advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Too many times we find ourselves empty because of physical things that are going on in our lives. We do. Too many times we find ourselves feeling empty because our finances are where it ought not to be. Too many times we find ourselves feeling empty because our mindset is not that of Christ Jesus at all. Whatever your reason might be, we can't approach the presence of God with an empty mindset. We all come to God empty. We all come to him empty. And it's God that fills us up. But once he fills us up, you know, we can't be like the automobiles we drive today, having that fuel light come on. We feel like we just can't go any further. You just can't do it. It may be that God has brought us to this very moment in order to do a monumental task in his kingdom. It could be the saving of a nation. It could be the saving of someone's soul. It could be comforting someone who's hurting. It could be strengthening this congregation. And even while we engage in the effort, you know, even while we do what God has called us to do, sometimes we never come to understand the significance of the task at hand. Sometimes we don't know why we're doing it. We don't understand it. But I realize as a little boy, you don't have to understand everything. You don't. You don't. When our name is called, we need to respond just like Isaiah, chapter 6 and verse number 8. Here am I, send me. We just got finished singing a song. What did that mean to you? Here am I, Lord, send me. I'm ready at your bidding, Lord. I'm ready, but my body's ready, but my mind and my soul is just so empty. But I'm ready. Jesus said, I've come to give you life, John 10, and that you might have it more abundantly. When we look at the word life, the Greek word is zoe, which means full of life. A life of fullness and completeness is the exact opposite of being empty. Zoe, it's a full life. And this is a life that Jesus called us to give all who follow him this life. But there are a lot of Christians, unfortunately, sadly enough, who have not experienced such a life. Their lives are just not full. And a sad commentary is that they are only empty Christians. Empty Christians. There's no hope. There's no desire in their hearts and minds to do those things that God has called them to do. There's no desire to look forward to the future. You know, a story is told of two twin girls. They were identical in every way. One was a pessimist. She always dreaded the worst things of life. And the other twin was an optimist, and she always was believing that the best was yet to come. So the parents, being aware of both those extremes, they carried out an experiment to balance out the respective tendencies of those girls. So on one Christmas Eve, they tiptoed into the gloomy girl's room, and they filled it with the most marvelous gifts that you can ever think or imagine. And then they went and filled the sunny girl's room with horse manure. And when the morning came, the parents got out of bed to see how the experiment had worked. They found the little pessimist twin sitting on the floor, surrounded by a lot of wrapping paper and filled with tears, just a crying. She said, why are you crying? She said, because there's so many presents here and not enough time to play with them all. Then they go to the next room. And there were tears of delight that were erupting in the next room. They found the little optimist girl. She was covered in mess, but she was steeped in a lot of smiles. And you know what she said? There's so much manure in this room, there has to be a pony somewhere. We can't come to God pessimistic. Optimism is all that we have. If we don't have any hope, we have nothing. Christ is our hope. When it comes to the church, the kingdom of God, we can't come empty, expecting to do his will. There are individuals who know that they should be full. Individuals should be full of gratitude for the blessings of God. Individuals that know they should be full of gratitude for his gifts. But they just are not. And they're not enthusiastic in their practice of Christianity as well. And when you look at their lives, when you look at your own life, is there any growth? When you look at your own spiritual life, is there any motivation to continue to follow Christ? Is there any completeness, any joy? Where is your hope in Christ? Too many lives of Christians are filled with doubt and regret and complaint and criticism. Too many Christian lives are filled with negativity and laziness. I mean, they go through the motions of being faithful, but there's no heart in their actions. They are empty. You often think about quitting the faith altogether. What does it mean to be a Christian and not study? What does that mean? Some Christians do not study. They pray, but they pray with just a little bit of faith. They don't want to be in worship service at all. They're not interested in having fellowship with the saints. They continue to give, but they do it without any joy. And their good works, they're few and far apart. The Christian life of someone like that is more of a bother and a burden than it is a blessing. They can't see their lives as a blessing because, again, they're simply empty Christians. But it could be made full again. The Christian life can be made full again, but it's not an easy road to take. It's not. It's going to take doing some things that are not fun at all. Take doing some things that are not comfortable. First, the Christian must do one thing. They must empty themselves. How can someone that's empty already empty themselves? You know why? Because every one of us, including me, we full of something. Think about that. Everybody's full of something. And to be filled with joy in the Lord, the child of God must put off the things of the world. We've got to rid ourselves of the practice of sin because those things empty our lives continually and constantly because it has absolutely nothing to offer us. Nothing. We've got to sever our heart from all the things that has allowed those things to come between us and God. I've got to separate myself from the things that has allowed to come between me and God. Listen, we've got to separate ourselves from the things that have come between us and God. Those things are empty. They don't mean anything at all. They're not spiritual. They're empty and worldly. We've got to pour out every excuse we have in this life as to why we're not able to serve God the way that we should. We've got too many excuses for why we're not able to serve God the way that we should. And there should be not any excuses as a Christian that we could find to not serve God in spirit and truth. James 4 and 8 says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he's going to lift you up. Once you've emptied your life of all these worldly pursuits that we find ourselves running behind, you've got to fill up with the things that are spiritual in nature. Paul describes what must be done in Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. He says, you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man. Put it off. It's corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Let's fill your mind up with the things of God because your mind is empty. Let's fill it up. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, and he wrote with similar words in Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 14. Listen to what he said. He said, but now you also put off all these things. I want you to put off anger because it's empty. I want you to put off wrath, it's empty, malice, blasphemy. Filthy communication out of your mouth means that your heart is empty when it comes to spiritual things from God. Filthy. All right? Filter the communication from your mouth. Stop lying to one another. Put off the old man with deeds and put on the new man because it's renewed in knowledge after the image of him who created him. Put on therefore the elect of God. You be holy and beloved. Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also you forgive as well. And you can't forgive from an empty heart. Never happened. Above all things, he says, you put on love. Put on love. Because it's the bond of perfection. Put on love. Too many times we pursue those things that's going to give us absolutely nothing. We turn around, we've worked all of our lives, and we have nothing to what? Nothing to show for it. Are we going to serve God all of our lives from an empty position, from an empty heart, with good intentions, just to hear him say at the end of time, I never knew you? What a sad commentary that's going to be to come up empty at the end of our time. In Matthew 12, 43 through 45, Jesus said these words. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walks through dry places seeking rest, and he finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from where I came out, and when he has come, he finds it empty, swept, and garnished. Then he goes and takes himself with seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. We go find something else that's worse than what we're going through already to engage our lives in. Instead of walking away from those empty pursuits and finding life in Christ, we go and we delve ourselves further into the things of this world. Has no benefit. It only makes us worse than we were at first. But I'm here to tell you this morning that God has a lot of ingredients that he wants to add to our lives. A lot of things. No matter what you went through this morning or what you're going to go through this evening or the next day or even in your past, God has a lot of things that he wants to add to our lives. And as these become a part of the Christian, you're going to feel yourself being filled if you allow God to fill you up with these things. As healthy elements of the spirit seep into your life, the emptiness in your life is going to begin to depart. I don't know how empty you was feeling this morning. I can't tell you. I don't know how empty you was feeling last week. I can't tell you. I don't know how full you were with the Spirit of God this morning. I don't know how full you were last week, but I'm saying that in order to be encouraged, we've got to understand that God will fill us up with any and everything that we need if we will ask him. The Christian can't expect to be filled, listen to me, when there's no effort on your part. Everybody wants somebody to do something for them, but they don't want to do nothing for themselves. All right? We come every Sunday and we sit in that pew and we put our feet on clean carpet. We go to those bathrooms and the bathrooms are clean. Listen, God is not going to miraculously clean those bathrooms or those floors as much as he's not going to miraculously fill your heart with love, joy, and peace. You've got to want that. And you've got to pursue that. And you have to be a part of that yourself. God's not going to miraculously just fill your heart with love. He's not going to fill your heart with joy and peace because if you don't want that, you'll never receive it. The Holy Spirit's not going to mysteriously come into your heart and place the fruit of the Spirit in your heart. Jesus is not going to enter your heart and inject enthusiasm and motivation in your life for the church and for his word. We've got to get up off of our thumbs and stop being empty. And those of us that are full, what a wonderful thing it is to know that. We learn that knowledge is essential to the development of the new man in Christ. It's essential. Paul says in Ephesians 4:23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Colossians 3:10, he says, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. We all know this scripture, Romans 12:2, Paul told the church in Rome, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may be able to prove that his good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The word of God is the power source for every Christian. There's no reason that we ought to come up empty when it comes to serving God. No reason we ought to be walking around empty when it comes to serving God. We've got to obtain a deep and effective knowledge of God's word. In order to do that, it takes study. And study time takes discipline. It's only those who acquire good knowledge of the truth of God who are going to be filled and sculpted into the image of Jesus Christ. And those who truly bear the image of Christ, they will not find their lives void and empty. Because we're bearing the image of Christ. You're going to find purpose and satisfaction. You're going to find that abundance he talks about in John 10. And your life is going to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. The fact of the matter is, you'll find the very life that Jesus came to give you. You're going to find it. But there are too many of us looking for other things in empty places. In order to truly be full, this is the paradox. Now, in order to truly be full, a child of God must pour himself out to others. What are you saying, Brother Colin? In other words, you got to stop having your hands out, and it's time for you to start giving. Got to start giving. Too many times we put empty hands forth, and we have an empty heart as well, but we never had a heart full of giving, and our hands are never ready to give anything out. We have got to be able to be a giving people. Proverbs 11:24 says, there's one who scatters, yet increases more. The very next verse, in verse number 25, says, the liberal soul shall be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. You see, it's a reciprocal benefit, right? Give, and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, right? Right? Nothing to do with being empty. When a person's life is full to the brim, I want to tell you, there is way for more to be added to his life. The only time that you can't do anything for somebody whose cup is full is those people whose cup is full, thinking they know everything, you can't add nothing to that. You just can't do it. But if you're serving God, when your life is full to the brim, he can add more to it, and involves pouring out some of that which you have already. You got to pour out what you have. You take the good things that you have been given and you share those things with others. And as you continue to pour those things out of your heart and your mind, because you're full of them, God's going to continue to fill you back up. Your life will always be full no matter how much you give. God's going to fill it up again so that you can reciprocate that over and over and over again. So the question is, what are you giving? Question is, what do you have to give? What are you offering? What are you doing besides sitting on your thumbs with an empty heart and an empty mind pretending to serve God? It's not just us. The world just can't see that. It can't see it. Empty promises. Empty lives. Empty and void of the Spirit of God. But our God always gives us a life that's is a continuous fountain of blessings for others. Because there are too many out there who say, you know, I don't get nothing from my Christianity. Well, I don't get nothing out of it. My Christian life is just so boring and dull. I'm a Christian, but you know, I'm not full on the inside. Well, you're full of something. We've got to confess the fact, if we are empty Christians, that we are empty, because if you never confess that, you never are going to be in a position to be full. Never. Got to confess that. There are many Christians who can make those statements, and they need a way to experience the fullness of life that comes from Christ. In order to do that, listen to me. You're empty already, but you've got to empty yourself from the worldly things that continue to bog us down. If we're Christians, empty yourself. And you have to fill yourself up with Christ. And you can't just sit there with your hands open. You've got to put forth an effort to acquire the knowledge that's going to bring about a change in your life. I'm talking about a spiritual change. And pour yourself out. Pour yourself out and have that abundant spiritual life so others can be blessed by what you do, and God can continue to fill you up. Ain't nothing like being filled up with the Spirit of God, huh? Nothing like it. And God is going to fill you up. We've got to have the intent to be able to help others with what we have. Empty ourselves of those things, and God will fill you up. John chapter 7, verse number 37 and 38 says this. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, if you're empty, come to me and drink. I'll fill you up. And he who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. It's going to fill you with the Spirit of God. You thirsty for those things of God, he will fill you up. John 4:14, at the well of Jacob, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Do you want that? If you're empty, come drink from the Lord. Come drink. Revelation, John the Revelator says in chapter 7, verses 16 and 17, he says, there shall neither be hunger anymore, there shall be no thirst anymore, the sun will not strike you anymore, nor any heat, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. And once we get there, well, look what he says. And God shall wipe away every tear from your eyes. Every tear. It's possible for those that are empty to be full again. It is. And once you experience the fullness of God, it's going to be hard to ever be empty again. I'm calling you experience the richness that comes from Christ in and as Jesus Christ, God's Son and our Savior. You will never be empty again. He calls us to hear his word. He calls us to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the true and living God. And believing, you confess and you repent of your sins. Because too many times we've come up empty. Too many times we've shortchanged other folks and they've found they've come up empty as a result of our deceit. But we can't deceive God. If we're truly going to follow God, we've got to come before God and we've got to empty ourselves. Beat our chest and says, Lord, I am a sinner. Rescue me. Fill me up. We've got to be baptized in the water, water grave of baptism for the remission of our sins. Because it's in baptism where the blood of Christ is met for each and every one of us. And that blood cleanses us from every sin that we've ever committed. And we rise up out of that water, a new creation, a new man in Christ, walking in fellowship with him and the fellow saints. If you experience Christ in your life and you continue to pursue those things that he's called us to do, it's going to be hard to ever be empty again. So understand that God calls us to be full, and he will fill us up abundantly if we will accept that. And there are those out there this morning who certainly have not accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ. Their lives are simply empty. It's full of worldly things. You can look around here. You might have this, that, and that, but their spirit and their souls are just empty. And God calls you to be full this morning. If we can help you to do that, why don't you come and we stand and sing the invitation song.